Hello, we are back. Huge welcome to our esteemed panel who are here to give us a lowdown on Azure AI. Please welcome Chris Laurent, Anand Raman, and Luis Cabrera Cordon. Welcome, everybody. How are we doing, my friends?
Fantastic. Thanks, Seth.
It's so good to see all of you all here virtually.
Hey, Seth.
And you all know that I love AI. I've worked with all of you very closely, probably much to your chagrin. But we're going to start with Anand to give us an overview of what kinds of things Azure has for AI. Then we'll talk to Luis about some of the stuff that he's working on in cognitive services. And then Chris, we're going to go to you on Azure Machine Learning. Let's start with you, Anand.
All right. Thank you, Seth, for having me here. And it's a great pleasure to be with Seth. What's a bill without Seth, right? And I lead the program management for cognitive services platform. And we bring AI within the reach of every developer with cognitive services. These are pre-trained models and customizable in the domain-specific areas such as computer vision, speech, language, and decision. And the interesting thing I noticed about this build is we are running this Imagine Cup competition for about 18 years, and about 4 of the 6 finalists in this competition have used cognitive services in their application. Pretty amazing to see. Today, we have about 20,000 active developers using cognitive services and consuming about 9 billion plus transactions. A couple other points. We are powering entire Microsoft Office 365 teams. The transcription that you see here, everything is powered by cognitive services. And also, we are working very closely with Azure Synapse Analytics in terms of bringing cognitive services into it. And my friend Lewis is going to talk more about how we embed cognitive services into Azure Cognitive Search here. So,
well, this is amazing stuff. By the way, we want to make sure if you have questions, send them in and I will read them off as they are, because your questions are obviously more important than mine, because I've spent a lot of time with these dudes asking them questions, and I want to make sure that your questions are answered. We'll start with you, Luis, just an overview of, like, what is a machine learning model, number one, and then how are we making them and how are we making people consume them?
Yeah, great question, Seth. Thank you so much. So essentially, a machine learning model is trained based on data to help the computer essentially make decisions, right? And we have heard a lot about them lately, but the question for me is, how can we make them useful? How can we make them useful in the enterprise? And that's what we're focused on. We take some of the cognitive services capabilities that Anand was talking on, and we're thinking, how can we make them useful when you're dealing with, you know, with real problems, real documents, for instance, right? Real data sources and so forth. How can we make it useful to you to find insights, to explore this information? And with Azure Cognitive Search, for instance, we introduce what we call the knowledge mining pattern that has to do with ingestion of information from different data sources, with the ability to understand what's in those files, and then apply machine learning algorithms to that, chain them together, if you will, and then create the tools or the experiences that enable you to explore and find insights in your information.
One of the reasons why I like intelligent search, as you point out, is because it actually brings together like a number of cognitive services together, or at least it can. So why don't we start first with, what are some examples of cognitive services that people can use? And then let's get into how we can use them together in intelligent search to make it a powerful solution for people. Luis, let's go to you.
Yeah. So for instance, imagine that you have a bunch of documents and you want to explore those documents, but you have a problem. These documents may be in different languages, or maybe you have a problem where you have these documents, but they may have private identifiable information in them, and you would like to mask out that information. So these are just some examples where we can ingest those documents, then apply these cognitive skills, as we call them, to do the translation or extract different types of entities or mask private identifiable information in order to structure the information, in order to enrich it, so that you can use that information to your advantage, whether it's in a search scenario, as in Azure Cognitive Search, or even projecting that information so that you can do analytics on it, for instance.
So let's talk a little bit about, because this is interesting to me, you mentioned documents. Are we talking, because everything you said was basically text. Can it do pictures too?
Of course, of course. Imagine that I have a document that has a bunch of images. Maybe it has some graphs inside there, and I want to find the document that has a specific graph in it. For instance, we can do OCR, or maybe we can do image analysis to extract objects and tags from the images. Maybe there is an image of yourself inside a PowerPoint, and then this image analysis could essentially say something like, Seth Juarez presenting to the world, right? And then we will be able to find that that document, even though maybe it only has an image of you inside of it.
Well, that's absolutely amazing. If there's documents with pictures of me in there, crazy town, number one. Let's zoom out, Anand, because Luis was talking a little bit about like a specific solution that involved a bunch of cognitive services, namely searching over documents and extracting intelligence with AI. Can you tell us what are some of the features that are in cognitive services that devs can just call and have AI in their apps immediately?
Sure. I mean, I can talk about what the team Hollow or the team Vision, the student competitions they did, right? If you think about team Hollow, these are 18-year-old students who are building apps using cognitive services. They are calling our speech services or custom vision services. Essentially, you can call an API and extract information out of the image. And they're building these amazing apps for detecting tremor in a patient, as well as detecting mental health as a part of the student population. It's a simple API call. We also provide amazing SDK support in four languages. So some of the capabilities are speech to text, text to speech, speech transcription, face detection, you name it. And then we are also up-leveling these skills in terms of doing form recognition and using capabilities such as reinforcement learning for doing personalization and so on and so forth. So I definitely encourage all the developers to give it a try. So yeah.
It's basically like an SDK for intelligence that you just call. Am I getting this right?
That's right. And if you think about, somebody wanting to building a machine learning model, you extract the data, you build, you train something that Chris is going to soon talk about with Azure Machine Learning. We essentially make them so easy for the reach of every developer with a simple API call.
So let's talk about, and then before we move to Chris, let's talk about the security. What security features are available to people that use cognitive services? I imagine there's information that people will send that maybe they want private. Can you speak to that a little bit, Luis?
Sure. Yeah, one of the...
Anand, if you've got it too, please.
No. Let me quickly mention, and then probably Luis can jump in. One is, I think, first is the global reach with the cognitive services. And also with the enterprise grade, we have recently rolled out VNet control, customer managed encryption key, as well as private links with AAD authentication. It's something that Azure Cognitive Search is also taking advantage of.
That is right, Anand. We are working on essentially making sure that the whole pipeline is secure from the moment that you connect to your data. We want to make sure that we can protect that connection. For instance, managed identities is a way to connect to that, or IP whitelisting, or maybe you want to set a firewall, right? Or maybe you want to make sure that your data at rest is secure, and double encryption or customer managed keys are examples of that. So we are certainly investing a lot. We want to make sure that you feel comfortable going from on-premise systems to the cloud, and make sure that your data is secure and that it is also private.
A last question for Anand. I've heard customers say, but I love the services, but I don't want to make a call to Azure. Is there a way I can run these locally somehow? Is there an answer for that?
Yeah, absolutely. I love the question. I think we announced GA, general availability of two cognitive services in containers at build, Lewis and Text Analytics, and we'll be bringing more and more. We are bringing all the capabilities as containers that you can run in your own secure environment.
That's amazing. All right, Chris, you've been standing there for a while. Are you sitting or standing, first of all? Hopefully sitting.
I'm standing all day, Seth.
I love it. So we're in the case now where We've talked about models that have already been built and you can just use, but will you talk a little bit about people that want to build their own custom models and what Azure provides for that?
Yeah, absolutely. Azure Machine Learning is open and interoperable, meaning that you can use any machine learning framework like PyTorch or TensorFlow, bring your code to the cloud and run it on our powerful infrastructure to be able to train those models more efficiently or train models on larger data sets. One of the things that I'm really excited about lately is we've been training these really large natural language models like the Turing models and or BERT-based models. And there are a bunch of products across the company that use these, like inside of Office, inside Visual Studio to power code completion, or inside Bing to provide better relevance. And we've now open sourced some new improvements in the Onyx runtime to speed up training these really large machine learning models, to train them up to 45% faster using basically the same code you already have with very minor changes. And that runs inside PyTorch, and we'll soon bring it inside TensorFlow as well. So you can leverage the power of the cloud faster, cheaper to get more done.
You mentioned Onyx. Tell me a little bit more about what Onyx is, because I always thought Onyx was more as a inference thing, not a training thing. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so Onyx is really a partnership that we've been working with a bunch of companies across the industry to create this open standard for how to be able to represent a machine learning model that can power some of the scenarios that we talked about earlier, like speech or vision or text understanding. But it's the way that you store the machine learning model, and then there's a runtime that it can run that machine learning model on a wide variety of hardware, whether it's on the cloud, in the edge, on mobile devices, et cetera. And so that runtime has been used to speed up the inference or using of that model inside an application or service. And now we've added this ability to speed up the training as well.
That's amazing. I've heard some of the benchmarks with the new Onyx stuff. It's pretty impressive. Let's talk about Azure Machine Learning Service. How does it make developers and data scientists more productive? What say you?
Yeah, so one of the things that I often do is start writing code on my local laptop and then we'll scale up to the cloud when I need bigger machines or bigger data sets. And so Azure Machine Learning fully supports that workflow to be able to collaborate on code using normal approaches like sharing things in Git, for example. And then now we've added support inside Azure Machine Learning's UI, we call it our studio, where you can work together collaboratively on notebooks as well. So we have built-in functionality right inside the UI to be able to work with Jupyter notebooks. You can share and discover them super easily, as well as strong support for the native Jupyter experience powered by managed compute that's secure in the same sort of approach that we talked about earlier with the private link and the VNet and the customer managed keys, so that all of your data can be in the cloud, super secure, and using role-based access control, enabling the data scientists and engineers to work together to train and deploy the machine learning model in a trustworthy way.
I mean, this is amazing. It feels like we got you covered from if you just want to use AI to if you want to customize AI exactly the way you want it. We've got you covered from cognitive services all the way to Azure Machine Learning. Now to the questions. I feel like I'm at the eye doctor here. Are the models pre-trained or pre-loaded with data for mental health to start with? And can we add more data to these models? So I think the question is, can we add more data to models that have already been built in cognitive services? Anand, what say you?
Absolutely. I think, as I mentioned, these are pre-trained and customizable models. And the app I mentioned was from the University of Hong Kong. Check it out, Team Hollow. That's the team that built this particular app.
All right, next question. There are 50 states with different driver license format. Can Azure AI interpret the driver's license data from the driver license image? Another good question. Luis, what do you say?
I really don't know. It really depends on the details. I don't know what you mean by the driver's license image, but I guess as long as you have enough data and enough training data and the correct labels, in theory, you should be able to train a model. The question is how hard it is.
You will never pin down an ML person saying, will it always work with this? Well, did you try it? Right, because you can try for free on cognitive services, as far as I know. Next question. Will Q&A Maker have the equivalent capacity as Luis AI in container as well? So Q&A Maker in containers like Lewis?
I think the answer is not yet, but something that we will definitely consider if we see enough customer signals. Yep.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being our guest here on the show. Now over to Donna with a company from Microsoft startups who are using their tech for good. Over to you, Donna.